Praise the Lord, and welcome to Vision. You're listening to Faith Liebert, and I'm so glad that you have joined me today. Listen now to Maypen Medley.
Father God, I pray that you will bless us again. I thank you for giving you the honor, the glory, and the praise again. Amen.
Dear friend, once again, you're listening to Evangelist Faith Reed Liebert, and you are listening to Vision. Thank you so much for joining us each week to study the Word of God. Truly, God is good to us, and we just could not make it without Him. I am so thankful that you are so faithful in wanting to study the Word of God. And truly, God is going to bless you for wanting to study the Word of God each and every week. Let us pray, dear friend. Father, I just bless you right now. I honor you. I thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together, Lord, in this time of fellowship. Thank you, Lord God, for those that are listening around the world. Father, we pray that from whatever country that they're listening in, that you would just bless them right now. Pray, oh God, for those that are in need of food and shelter. God, that you'll provide for them right now. Pray for those who are in need of healing for their bodies, healing for their minds right now. Lord God, that you would just truly bless them. We know that you're able to heal, that you're able to deliver. And, oh God, I just thank you right now for your touch. Remember those, Lord God, that are out on the mission field preaching and teaching. I pray that they would be encouraged as they seek to uplift your holy name, as they seek to win souls for the kingdom of God. I just thank you right now, and I praise you, Lord, because you always remember us, and each day we just fall more and more in love with you, Jesus. Touch your people right now, I pray, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Dear friend, once again, it is such a privilege for you to allow me to come into your home each and every week. Truly, God is worthy to receive glory and honor. He is so marvelous. I just cannot begin to praise him enough or bless him enough. I'm also thankful that Second Chance Ministries in Florida, Brother Uhart and his band, that they allow me to use their music. And I'm just so grateful to them for allowing me to use their music. And dear friend, as we study tonight, turn with me in your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at a little bit at chapter 2 and perhaps at chapter 1 if we have time. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And the Bible says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, and that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who shall have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. Wherefore, I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And I think we can pause right there. Dear friend, if we were to use a topic for tonight's lesson, I would say don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. You know, sometimes we begin to pray about some things and it seems as if we have been praying for a long time, and sometimes we get tired in praying and persistent calling on the name of the Lord. Sometimes people get tired, but I want you to know, dear friend, that you should never be tired. Don't get tired of praying. Don't get tired of being an encouraging person. Don't get tired of doing the things that God has called you to do, because surely one of these days you are going to reap great rewards from your faithfulness. And I'm not saying to be faithful just because of rewards, but how many of you know that every once in a while it's nice for someone to pat you on the back and say, you know, good job, good job. Everyone wants people to say kind things to them when they have done a good job. And so although we are not just laboring for, you know, some kind of reward, we should be doing it because we love God. Still, it is nice to know that at the end of our journey, that God will say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. And so I want to encourage you, dear friend, don't stop praying. When Paul was encouraging young Timothy in the faith, he knew that one day he would not be there physically, in person, to continue training him and talking to him. And so he did what he could to prepare him for the challenge ahead in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in this passage, he told him, he said, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So I exhort, therefore, in other words, I encourage you that when you pray, don't just pray for yourself, but remember that there's someone else out there that needs prayer. When you are praying, we understand that you have some personal things that you want to bring before God, but don't forget to pray for your neighbor. Don't forget to pray for the person down the street. Don't forget for people who you don't even know way across the world that might need your prayers. Dear friend, he said, let your prayers, your supplications, in other words, the things that you ask God to do, your prayers, your intercessions, and of course, intercession, Kate, or implies that you are remembering those who cannot help themselves, those who are weak, those who need strength, those who are shut in that need people to visit them. There are so many people who are in need of prayer, dear friend. When you pray, remember them. Remember the least of these. He said, in giving of thanks, be made for all men. I'm sure I could say all and hold that all for a very long time until you got tired of hearing it, but I won't do that to you. I just want you to know that when Paul encouraged young Timothy, he said, remember others, pray for them. And verse 2 said, for kings and for all that are in authority. Now, one of the things that we have to do is remember to pray for those who are in charge. Sometimes it's hard to do that because we might not always agree with their policies. We might not always agree with what they have to say, but we are encouraged as Christians to pray. We're encouraged to strengthen those who are in charge because they need God's guidance in making the right decisions. And so, dear friend, I want you to pray for those who are in charge because we want to lead a quiet and peaceful life. We don't want people taking us into war. We don't want people making laws that are unjust. We don't want people doing things to us that we don't want being done to us. We want to be able to lead a quiet and a peaceful life. And when we don't pray for those who are in charge, it implies that we don't care what happens around us. And as a Christian, you should always care about what happens around you. You should never just say, you know, whatever. You know, I hear that term used so much, and sometimes it's used very disrespectfully when you're talking to someone and they just look at you and say, whatever. You know, it's a modern term that's used to just tell someone to leave you alone. But I want to encourage you, dear friend, to not just say whatever to the things that go on around you, but to pray for those in authority, whether it be a judge, whether it be a magistrate, whether it be, you know, some person on the Supreme Court, whether it be the senator or the commissioner or the president of the United States. Dear friend, remember to pray for those who are in charge. Look at verse 3. It says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." So when we pray for those in charge, dear friend, God is pleased with that. He wants to see us praying for dignitaries. Look at verse 4. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So what does that indicate to us? That God is not just saying just to pray for them who are in charge to be praying for them, but we're also praying for their salvation. So in other words, we should be praying earnestly for the President of the United States. We should be praying earnestly for kings and queens of countries around the world. We should be praying for their salvation, that they would come to know Christ and that they would make the right decisions concerning the people of their country. Dear friend, pray, pray. Don't stop praying, because God is pleased when you spend time in prayer. Look at verse 5. It says, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus." And so who should we be understanding that intercedes for us, that is our mediator? That is the one, Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is that Rose of Sharon, dear friend. And you should remember to give him praise, because he does stand in the gap for you and I. Look at verse 6. It says, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." Jesus gave his life for you, dear friend. He gave his life for me and for all those who understand that when we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, we needed the one, Christ Jesus, to take our place on the cross. We needed him to shed his blood on Calvary for us. And so I encourage you to put your trust in him. Look at verse 7. It says, "Whereto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity." And so Paul began to list his credentials to Timothy to let him know that he had authority to speak to him the way that he was speaking to him, because Paul declared that he was an apostle and that he was ordained. You know, remember, hands were laid on him. Barnabas, when he went and the Lord told him to go, hands were laid on him and he received his sight, and then he received instructions on what he needed to do. Now, I have many people question me about ordination and understanding about being a minister. Now, I know that many order these things online, but it is very uncomfortable to me when someone decides that they want to be a preacher and they order something off the internet. The old-fashioned way, dear friend, was to make sure that you were plugged into a local church, a local fellowship, and then let the pastor know that you felt that call to be a minister. And that pastor would pray with you and encourage you, and then he or she would go through the procedures that particular congregation went through. Some congregations, they allow you to do a trial sermon. Some congregations, they set you forth as a lay minister, sometimes for several months, sometimes for several years. It depends on how that person felt. And so I was a lay minister for several years before I was given a license as an evangelist, as a female evangelist. And, of course, we also had male evangelists in the organization that I belonged to at the time. I want you to understand, dear friend, that I'm not saying that you cannot start your own organization and begin to ordain people below you. That's fine. But it is helpful to start out under someone else. It is helpful to have someone lay their hands on you and bless you and bless your ministry and help you get started. It is helpful also to continue under the auspices of someone else who is more mature than yourself, who can give you guidance in ministry. Because anyone who has ever done ministry understands that it is a rigorous calling to have the responsibility of congregations, to have the responsibility of praying and standing in the gap for many, many people. Because many times pastors, after they have stood in the gap for others, don't really have too many people that stand in the gap for them. But thank God for the intercessors that are springing up at local churches. Most of the intercessors, not only do they pray for those all over the world, but they also stand in the gap for their pastors because they recognize that every counselor needs a counselor and that pastors are constantly praying for their congregations. And so they need people who will also turn around and pray for them. And so, dear friend, I like verse 7 because Paul lists his credentials. In other words, he's saying, I am not just talking as an inexperienced person, but I'm talking as someone who has lived, someone who has been through life, someone who has the type of expertise that is needed to take you to the next level. Dear friend, as a minister, as a called and chosen one, as a called out one, you must always prepare yourself for what you need to do. Don't just ignorantly pick up your Bible and assume that it's not okay to read other books. Yes, your Bible is your main source of strength, but that does not mean that you cannot pick up the Vine's dictionary and look up what words mean or look at a commentary to get more insight on that passage. There are ways to deeply study the Word of God and to gain more knowledge so that you can say unequivocally that you are someone who is well-versed in the Bible, someone who understands certain things about the Bible and the culture of the time. And then when you are ready to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ, you can do it in a way that will bring glory and honor to God. And I want to encourage you that when someone comes and wants to argue with you about the Word of God, dear friend, don't argue with them. Just let them know that God loves them. And if they disagree with you, well, that's their prerogative to disagree with you. But help them to understand that God still loves them and He will still wait with open hands and open arms to receive all those who are willing to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Look at verse 8. It says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. And so Paul, he encouraged Timothy and encouraged all of us that we ought to pray everywhere. Now, not just in your home, not just at church, but everywhere. Everywhere we go, we should be in prayer. We should not feel ashamed to worship. We should not have wrath in our heart, and we should not doubt. Now, notice what it says. It says, pray everywhere. That's number one. lift up your holy hands. That's number two. When we raise our hands to God in prayer, it is a sign that we are surrendering our will, our life to Him. Then it says, pray without wrath. In other words, clear your heart of every impurity. Clear your heart of everything that would hinder your progress. Clear your heart of everything that would stop you from having breakthrough in your life. Clear your heart of everything that would keep you from being in prayer as often as you should. And then it says, without and without doubting. So, in other words, when you pray, you must have faith. When you pray, you must believe that God has already done it. When you pray, you must understand that God is taking you into that deeper understanding of who He is. When you pray, you realize that you're drawing close to God. When you pray, you realize that God is opening up things that have been shut tight in your face. God is swinging them open right now. When you pray, you understand that He's taking you not just through the valley, but He's pulling you out of any pits that you have fallen into. When you pray, understand that you must wait and that you must allow God to speak back to you. Don't just run your mouth and run your mouth and run your mouth, but time and listen to God. Take time and allow Him to speak to you. Dear friend, when you pray, believe God. Trust God. I can't tell you how many times prayer has gone up, and someone will still come back and ask the question about what the prayer was that had already gone up. In other words, people pray, but they don't believe their prayers. And so right after they finish praying, they're asking you questions that show that there is still doubt and that they don't fully believe that God is going to answer that prayer that they just prayed. And I don't know about you, dear friend. I'm not trying to insult you, but I want you to understand that some prayers are not worth praying if you're not going to believe that God is going to answer them. Can I say that one more time? Some prayers are not worth praying if you don't really believe that God is going to answer your prayer. And so if you're going to pray, you must believe. You must believe. There should be no room for doubt that God has already heard you, that God has already answered you, that your prayers that seem like they were being held up in the heavenlies, that God is releasing that overflow of blessings in your life right now. I want you to take a moment, dear friend, and just give God praise for His blessing. Give God praise for His overflow in your life. God is opening up doors in front of you right now. God is blessing you right now. This is your season of joy. This is your season of peace. This is your season of rejoicing. This is your season of release, that God is speaking great things to you right now. God is blessing you right now from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Receive His touch right now. Receive His blessing right now. God truly loves you, dear friend. He cares about you, and He wants you to just open up your mouth and rejoice right now. Open up your mouth and bless Him right now. Open up your mouth and just say, Lord, I thank You that You've already done it. I thank You that You're already blessing me. I thank You that everything that I've prayed for, I believe I'm knocking right now, and I know that You're opening the door right now. Dear friend, bless Him. Praise Him. God is blessing you right now. God is helping you right now. God is giving you strength right now. Don't you know that God is on your side? Amen. God is not against you, dear friend. God is on your side. Ah, hallelujah. God is on your side. Ah, and He said, if He be for you, come on, somebody, give Him praise. If He is for you, who can be against you? God is on your side. I don't know who I'm talking to you right now, but I want you to know that God is on your side and that everything is going to be all right. Look with me again, dear friend, to First Timothy chapter 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, to Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought you to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved have turned aside to vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. Now, Paul was teaching young Timothy right and wrong. He wanted to help him to understand about the things that God wanted him to ponder, to think about. And so one of the things that he did was pretty much start off by telling him that people need to focus on what's right and not and stick to the doctrine of Jesus Christ and not listen to fables and myths, et cetera, et cetera. Now, as you know, everyone in every ethnic group has their superstitions. Every ethnic group has their own set of superstitions. And so when he was instructing Timothy, it wasn't something that he wasn't aware of. He was trying to help him to understand, don't fall back into myths. Don't fall back into superstitious things. And pay attention to those who are falling and those who are listening to stuff that is not true. He says in verse 3, as I besought you to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So he knew immediately that there were going to be some people who made up their own religion and made up their own doctrine, and they were going to teach what they wanted to teach. Do you realize, dear friend, that everyone does not really want to know the truth, and that there are some who are going to always do what they feel like doing anyhow? And so that's why we really should not get upset at people when they disagree with us, because even when Jesus comes back, there are going to be some who do not listen. And so, dear friend, be blessed, be encouraged. God loves you, and so do I. Let us pray. Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We bless you. We lift up your holy name, O God. Bless your people once again, I pray. And I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, I thank you so much for studying with me. You have been studying with Evangelist Faith Reed Liburd. God bless you. God bless you. And we know that God will take care of your family. God bless you.